I'm Kier.
I'm Haley.
And I'm Jay from Gallifrey Public Radio,
a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to right now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm Iron Man.
I'm Neil.
You're not Iron Man.
I want to be. If you can be Batman, I can be Iron Man.
Okay. Okay.
Don't do it, Wing.
I'm Batman.
Anyways, so this week, Ultron. Age of Ultron.
Ultron. Ultron.
Yeah. Age of Ultron or Out Terminator fought the Avengers.
It's not Terminator.
Well, why do every time we create AI, it has to be bad just for the sake of being bad with no reason?
Because that's how AI will be. Duh.
I'm tired of it.
It wants to survive. It has to do. We're bad. We do what we do. And it's not only, it's also, you know, relatively smart, omnipotent beings. Look at Fifth Element.
Yeah, sure.
What's the name?
And the way to battle AI is to create more AI.
Well, Wing, I, for one, will welcome our machine overlords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to be an early adopter of death, I think. Just saying.
Stroke or note or what?
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 Death? I don't know.
Death?
Oh, stroke or note.
I don't know.
Note could be, as long as it's like a long, elaborate one, that could be kind of cool.
That's what she said?
Possibly. She never said that.
My brain hurts now.
Okay. Avengers Age of Ultron. I made a big mistake. I rewatched some Avengers movie without before watching this and being like, oh, it's all going to be connected and Iron Man 3 is going to have a big impact on this. No. Not anymore. It doesn't matter anymore. You can just watch Avengers movie and whatever happened in between. It's trivial.
Honestly, I don't even remember what happened in Iron Man 3, so I don't think the MCU needs to.
Yeah, well, I think they figured the same thing, because I rewatched Iron Man 3, and I'm one of the person who liked Iron Man 3, and I'm like, okay, he's not Iron Man anymore, so I'm going to know why he's Iron Man again, and he's, like, conflicted about, like, what happened in the first Avengers. And no, he's still Iron Man, and he called his buddy, and he has the Iron Army, even if he blew it up at the end of Iron Man 3, and who cares?
I don't agree. But, of course, I think I'm going to be saying that a lot on this cast to you.
me and Avengers.
Exactly. To me, this kind of solidifies what type of person Tony is. Tony is the guy who will just keep on doing the same thing over and over and over again, and that because he believes that he is right beyond anybody else's reason or doubt, and he's just going to keep doing it. If that means he has to keep on building armies of, you know, Iron Man,
then that's
fine.
Keep trying to build the same freaking AI, apparently,
exactly,
in this movie.
Over and over and over again. I mean, that was his thing. That's what he did in Iron Man 3. That's what he's doing here. This is who he is. Tony Stark believes he is right all the time.
I'm going to give you one thing. He's going to repeat the same thing and the same thing again and again, because at the end of Iron Man 3, he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And at the end of this one, he's like, I'm not doing this anymore. And I was like, this is kind of redundant.
It's what he does.
Yeah, and he's charismatic enough to bring other people along with him. And that's the really dangerous part.
Absolutely. 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 Which is just like he is in the comics. He is a charismatic son of a bitch who comes up with all these whacked out ideas. And everybody's like, ooh, look at the shiny. Let's follow that. And then shit happens.
So you want me to help you build another AI? No, I want to help you build another AI. Favorite line of the movie for me. Just saying.
Honestly, I think what's really surprised me, in a way it surprised me and in a way it didn't, because Banner deep down is a scientist, and he will always be a scientist. And there was this part of me that's like, why aren't you standing up to Banner? Why aren't you standing up to Stark? Oh, that's right. It's science. You love science.
Yeah.
I love the Banner storyline. I love...
Oh, absolutely.
I love the... I always just want to call her Scarlet.
Black Widow.
And their storyline together. I know, absolutely. Supposedly there's people raging on the internet how she isn't a strong character and this and that. It's like, come
Which
on, because
bullshit.
She falls yeah, in love. Work. Because she has love. Because she's the only person on the planet that can tame the giant green fucking rage monster. That makes her a weaker character.
And she'd okay. still push him off the ledge when she needs to.
So right, like, and yeah. she still does what she has to do. It's, I don't know. That right there was... The rest of the movie, in all honesty, I liked it. I enjoyed it, but it felt kind of the same. Rewashed, rinsed. It felt like a plot we've all seen before, whether it was Avengers or not. But what did it for me was the character beats. The shit that tied everything together were yeah. the interpersonal connections that all these people had. Even the scene that we saw with Cap and Stark talking bullshit at the farm that sets up Civil War, basically.
The yeah. farm scene is probably my favorite scene of the movie. That old
just
old
that
section.
Or the whole thing where the it old... shows the you know, and look at Hawkeye's Hawkeye. Wife.
Yeah.
She's a strong woman character too. She's putting up with all this. Her husband's like the only human of the bunch, sans Natasha, who is super close with him.
Yeah. I actually have to say on one part, the farmhouse scene was my least favorite scene. And that probably needs a bit of explanation. It's that you don't expect, if you're a comic fan, you don't expect Hawkeye to be coming into this with a family, with kids. If you're mm-hmm. a fan of the Fraction run, you're thinking, all right, there's still a chance we'll get a Matt Fraction Hawkeye series, maybe as a spinoff. If you're a fan of Hawkeye through the 80s and 90s, you think, all right, there's still a chance he may hook up with Mockingbird from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And your mind's going in all these great directions. Hey, they're developing Hawkeye. He's a character. This is very cool. And suddenly, oh, he's a family man who just wants to go back to the farm. Cool, but a letdown.
I don't know. That makes him more human for me because you have like that god, that crazy side, both crazy scientists on one side, and you know all these people that have those extraordinary life, and all of a sudden you have you and me, the crazy guy that battled robots with bow and arrows, which I'm happy that they called out. I'll be honest, I'm really happy that they called out in this mm-hmm. in this movie. So for me, it's like the. Your entry point, since you don't have Coulson anymore, it's the normal man. It's you and me. It's the character that helps me understand these other characters. And I'll be honest, one of the best surprises I had in this movie is that him and Banner are kind of the main character, and Captain America and Thor are side character. They are.
Agreed.
I read an article called Thor is like the intergalactic messenger boy.
Yeah. he goes take a bath at some point, which I'm like, oh, you're setting up other movies. This feels like Iron Man 2 all of a sudden. Oh, but okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, you could have set up Hawkeye's humanity without the family. I mean, you could have had the farmhouse be a safe house, no problem, like they've done in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., and you could have had scenes with him in his shitty little hole-in-the-wall apartment in New York that would have given you that same insight into, yeah, he's got a dreary civilian life and he's human just like everybody else. And it's not saying that I hated what went on at the farmhouse. I said from a comic fan perspective, though, it's a bit disappointing because it shuts the door on what would be a couple of great storylines straight out of the comics.
I mean, as a comic book fan, I was surprised, but I really liked it. I mean, this was really kind of Joss Whedon at his best. He will take a character that everybody is familiar with, and he will put this twist on it that you don't see coming, that only does nothing else but add to the character. I mean, this made Hawkeye, as Wing said, it makes him human. It makes him like a regular guy, but it also gives him something to lose. A lot of the guys on that team do not have a lot to lose. Captain America's already lost everything. He's already lost his past, so he's like kind of a man out of time. Thor, he can go back to Asgard anytime. Tony, he's full of himself. He can build a bunch of Iron Men, stuff like that. He doesn't have a lot to lose. Hulk has already kind of lost, a lot of stuff because he's just,
Hulk.
Exactly. Natasha's already lost her past because, you know, she realizes that, you know, she's...
And how brutal is that? They sterilize them.
Well, see, here's the other thing, and this was also brought up on the whole Joss Whedon thing, that everybody was like, oh, well, she says that she's a monster because she can't have kids. No, she made the choice to be sterilized and not have kids because it made her an effective killer, and that is what makes her a monster.
Agreed. I think people misread that a lot.
And it's in her mind. She's not saying it makes her, that's just her own decision. She's not saying, like, you can't have kids or a month, you know.
Right. No, it's because I've made this choice, it makes me a better killer. Therefore, I'm a monster.
And in the old meta thing, the reason why she's less in the movie than she was supposed to, she was pregnant. They had like 3 weeks with her before she started showing. Mm-hmm. So they needed to give her a side role a little bit. So I know this is meta thinking because I should not judge a movie on that. But I think the character did well by the number of freaking character there is in this movie. I mean, you have like 4 origin story in one movie. There is.
Kind of, yeah.
I get that.
There is. And the one that get the short end of the sticks are the twins. I mean, I like the explanation of the power. He's fast and she's weird. Well, yeah, I have no idea what her power set is. She's weird.
Well, they explained it, kind of. And then they said that.
They explained it by her doing it.
Yeah, she shoots some scarlet thingy and she gets into people's head. Okay.
Well, she's able to basically get into people's heads and make them experience their deepest fears and basically control them that way.
Yeah, seems to work in a certain way because Stark seems to get out of it pretty well. Thor seems to get out of it pretty well.
No, Stark does not get out of it pretty well. Stark, that is all of his fears from every single Iron Man movie right there, that he will fail. That no matter what he does, he will fail. No matter how great he is,
and everyone around him will die.
Exactly. So that's why he keeps doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, which shows insanity.
You know what? I was just going to say, then we need to rechange his column to insanity, because that is the definition of it.
Yeah, that's who he is.
And as far as he gets out of it pretty well, I think when he snaps out of it the first time, Scarlet Witch even knows that there's no way this guy is actually shaking it off, because I think she looks at Strucker and she smiles or she says something. I don't remember the actual phrase, but you know that regardless of whether or not he's being mind controlled, he's still going to fuck things up for the team because
she let him take it because of the fear that she saw the fear in him and knew that he would screw it up or something along those lines.
Yep.
Is it me or Stark organize a party in 3 days just so we can have 3 days with the scepter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was just wondering. So I was like,
and it goes back to Stark being manipulative. Yeah. It's what he does.
I was like, manipulative mofo. You don't want a party. You just want 3 days to play with that thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
I love how, okay, honestly, one of the best, singular best looks in the movie is when they're all fucking around grabbing the hammer and Captain America grabs it and it actually wiggles a little bit and the look on Thor's face
is like, oh shit.
Oh my God. And then he kind of tenses up and he doesn't move it again and he's like, ha ha ha, he laughs it off. But the look on his face genuinely showed like, oh fuck, what did I start here?
And this is one of the things I'm going to give to the movie that I really like in the writing. They insert all these things in advance because when they get to the Vision and they're like, how are we going to trust you? The last guy just like fracked it up.
Right, and he picks up the hammer and gives it to Thor. And everybody's like, in the theater, all the little kids, because I went to a Sunday morning show. They were playing it every 20 minutes starting at 10:40 in the morning on Saturday and Sunday. Oh, in 2D.
Okay.
So, haha, Wing. But yeah, all the little kids in there, because there was tons of them, were still like, he picked up the hammer. Say, Mom, did you see that? He picked up the hammer.
But that worked because of that. First of all, that first scene is really funny, as you said. All the looks, even the way Hawkeye is reacting to it. That's a trick. That is a trick. Black Widow being like, yeah, that's a question.
That's an answer. That's a question I don't need to answer.
Yeah. But,
I also like a really quick sidebar. I love how when shit goes down in that scene, they go from partying and having a good time to like balls to the walls. We're fighting.
Yeah.
There is no separation. There is no delineation. It's just, well, this is what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things the movie present well, which the other movie did never inserted, is that at this point they are a unit. I mean, that first action sequence, and I'm gonna give that again, giving to the movie what I like at the movie, the action sequence works. That first action sequence when they work as a unit, when the Thor smash Captain America's shield so it does the sonic boom of the first movie, but this time on purpose, works. Yeah, is anybody gonna trash that house over there? The Hulk could just jump and boom, no more bunkers. That work well as an introduction scene. As a James Bond pre-credit scenes, perfect.
How about the lullaby? What'd you guys think of the lullaby? Is that from the comics or is that just something that's really
nope,
cool?
Not from the comics, that but comes, it was, yeah.
They needed something.
Mm-hmm. Hey, big guy. Sun's getting low.
Sun's getting low and that's the signal.
That's he still cool. looks like he doesn't, even if he knows he has to become the Hulk, and he's like, is this a code green? Is this a code green? He doesn't want to.
He's still nervous and scared because mm-hmm. he doesn't know. I mean, he's fine up until Scarlet Witch really fucks with his mind. Oh, God, we didn't even talk about it yet.
Yeah, well, I was just about to say, now let's talk about the Hulkbuster fight, because that was the shit.
I helped create, what is the bitch's, Veronica. I helped create Veronica. What about, you know, what about a deterrent is that or whatever he says. And I'm like, Veronica, who the fuck's Veronica?
And same then thing, because I was surrounded by, I was sitting with some friends of mine when we went to see the movie. And they're like leaning over to me because I'm one of the few who knows about, I'm the geek. And everybody's like, what's Veronica? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck Veronica is.
And then when you see it, you're like, holy shit. It's a satellite-based fucking badass suit slash containment unit slash anything Stark needs to help put Banner down or, you know, put Banner on ice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. When
and it doesn't work.
The cage thing was so awesome, except Banner like smashes through the concrete below.
Yes, yeah. I love that. That's one of my favorite fights of the movie.
Veronica, I need a hand here.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't actually get the Easter egg with the naming of Veronica until the internets came to my rescue on that one. It's
so
basically, Tony Stark making fun of the fact that the Banner used to be in love with Betty Ross. So it was the Veronica to his Betty.
Betty and Veronica?
Yeah, Archie.
Okay, I did not. That feels like a reach. That feels like a real reach.
It's kind of cute.
Yeah.
It's kind of cute.
It's cute, but it's like, it's no, wow.
Whedon has actually confirmed that.
Yeah.
That's okay. A really Whedon thing when you think about
it.
Oh,
it's extremely Whedon.
Yeah.
It's extremely Whedon. Yeah. But the one thing that got me, they're just fighting all over the place and, you know, crashing and blah, 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 blah. And then he just pummels Banner with his jackhammer.
Sleep, 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 sleep.
That was awesome.
That was one of the few Loki moments. Yes. There were a couple of them again, but yeah, that was priceless.
Yeah.
But the other thing is when he hits him and the Hulk, it looks like the Hulk is about to go down, and then he spits out a tooth and looks back up at him. Yeah. And Thor Stark is like, I'm sorry.
But the way Tony says the whole go to sleep, 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 go to sleep, 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 sleep. I don't think he's talking to like a kid. He's not like mad. He's just like, come on, buddy, go to sleep, 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 please, please, sleep, sleep.
Yeah, that was funny. But Joss Whedon, the dialogue is fun. The dialogue is really fun. I mean, language, that was nice.
Brilliant. And all the way through the movie, it was awesome.
I'm never going to get... You guys never going to let that go. Nope.
It wasn't like... It wasn't the same line, though, throughout the movie. It was like someone would say crap or someone would say, you know, damn it or whatever. And it was just... Oh, you better be careful. Cap has a problem with that or whatever. Whoever would say the whippy line, it was like perfect.
Fury, who wasn't even there when the whole thing happened, when he's Cap, language. It's like, what the fuck?
They have an Illy carrier that just needs some dusting.
Okay. Now, I will grant you that is a huge plot hole, but it was filled by this week's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Which I have not seen yet.
Yeah, which I have not seen yet, and which Whedon said was not canon anymore.
Oh, well, he didn't say it's not canon. He's saying that it's something that he wasn't a part of.
He just didn't want what's name to be brought back, and he was brought back right. in his life, and now he's going from there.
He wrote the damn thing!
Yeah, I know. Well, you can make decisions. You can have people force you to do whatever. It is what it is for a dump truck some money.
Well, just we didn't seem mad these days. Oh, if we can go meta a little bit for a second, he's been trashing Marvel for last week, and now he's like, I want to do a DC movie, and I'm like, you do? Okay.
Well, listen, I mean, go ahead.
DC would say, here are your multiple dump trucks of cash.
Well, sure.
We will give you free creative control with minor oversight because he has been so vocal about this shit. Oh, yeah, and everybody knows what he can do. But I thought about this before, which we will cover in last week's news because the magic of Wings editing. Maybe it's Whedon. I don't think it is, but walk with me for a minute. What if Whedon is the whack job? He's great at what he does, but he's been having problems working with everybody for the last years.
I think it's more Feige than Whedon.
I'm not even Fox or whoever. Whedon's projects always seem to get shit on. That's my only point. It's not Whedon. I'm just playing devil's advocate and throwing something at the screen and seeing if it sticks. When I was reading the articles from last week's news, it popped into my head. And I'm like, well, what if all these studios and all these bigger companies seem to disagree with him or shit on him after a little while? Is it maybe, you know, he is the connecting factor in all of that? I don't think it is him. I'm just... Bleh. Now, send your hate mail to Beef, I think, at Legends Podcast or Nice Bitches.
Yeah, it's still working. We got that working again.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah. Beef at Legends Podcast or beef at gunnageek.com. Mm-hmm. It's working.
Nice.
Yeah, we got all that work. It was a process, but it's working again, so send us email. But maybe you're up to something, but when you look at Marvel track record, and I'm not going to trash their movies. I mean, they have a good track record on movies, but they had problems with director dropping and hiring people for like Thor 2, and they have like two or three director before this stuff.
Ant-Man and everything else.
Yeah. And now Whedon, that's like, I don't want to do a Marvel property ever again. And you're like, oh, okay.
Is that also possibly now, more shit at the wall? Is that also possibly because they're making their universe so complicated? It's getting there, really. It's great, and it's all interconnected, but you have to have so much continuity through all of it.
Is it complicated, or is it too formulaic for some of these directors that want more creative control?
I think you hit the nail on the head. I think it's too formulaic for a lot of creators who want to do their own thing.
Yeah.
And because of that, and I don't think it's just Marvel. Who owns Marvel? Disney does want this fucked up. They want their shit just right.
And it's more and more like a soap opera. You need to...
Yeah.
Well, I say you need... That's not true anymore, but they're trying to interconnect it where you have to watch the other one. But as I said, for phase one, I give it to them. Everything was well interweaved. Phase two, Guardians of the Galaxy has not really any effect. I would argue that Thor 2 has minor effect on this movie. Iron Man 3 has no effect whatsoever on this. And what was the other movie of Phase 2 that I'm... Oh, Captain America. Captain America is the one exception.
It's the only one that has effect on this, basically.
And is still, for me, the best Marvel movie ever.
You think you both think it is? I think honestly, right now, my favorite is probably Guardians of the Galaxy.
Well, for me, it's Captain America. Guardians of the Galaxy is a close second, but Captain America was just so well written and so well done.
But is that just because it triggers your guys' fucking Bond and spy movie love? I like Captain America.
I think it's more than that. I think it was such. It was a departure from where they had been before with comic book movies. This wasn't the typical comic book movie.
I agree.
For instance, Dark Knight wasn't the typical Batman movie. This was not the typical Captain America movie.
And you got to give it to Feige on that one, though, because what he said is, we don't want to make comic book movies. We want to make specific genre movies, spy movies, heist movies, war movies, using comic book characters so that everyone can identify with the major themes.
And the thing is, I can't entirely shit on Feige because, yeah, he's very rigid in what he wants and everything. But what he wants is a formula that seems to be working.
And perfection, which he seems to want, I shouldn't say perfection, but perfection in his view of this overarching MCU. And so far, they're what? Maybe, how many movies have come out since the beginning? 12?
12, something 10, like that, 12? Yeah. 27 hours of movies.
So, okay, yeah, right, that's right. They did the full watch here on 3D, and then you could watch the new one on 3D. But basically, they faltered on what? One or two of those or three of them aren't, you know, or weren't super entertaining the first couple times you watched them.
Thor 2, Iron Man 2 are probably the bottom of the base right now.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Yeah. I'm still a big defender of Hulk with Edward Norton. I am
that was a good movie. That was a very good movie.
But you know what? As much as I like that, and I really like Edward Norton as an actor, I'll take Mark Ruffalo any day as the Hulk. I would have said from the first Avengers, but after this movie, hands down, if they do another standalone without Mark Ruffalo, I will shit all over it, on principle.
I agree. Mark Ruffalo is the best Bruce Banner we got, but that Hulk movie, I like it because they treated it as a character piece until the third act. And, as most Marvel movie, the third act was lesser than the first two. But most of the Marvel movie has the same problem. When you get to the third act, it becomes a big special effect. Lollapalooza, and that's it. I mean, all logic goes out the window. I mean, in this movie, they're like, oh, we're going to take a city with big skyscraper, and we're going to save every single human being. And I'm like, no, probably not. You lose a couple in there. I'm sorry. I understand that you're probably reacting to Man of Steel. Okay, I'm going to give you that. You're trying to show that you're different than DC at this point. Okay.
But the reality of it is it's not that. That wouldn't happen. If you have 100 or 1,000 or even 20 or 50 Ultrons or robots that are all controlled by Ultron, foos are going to die.
Yes.
All right?
Oh, yeah.
People are. There is going to be some level of civilian casualty. I don't care if it's puppies in the street or cats in the tree, but people are going to die with their pets, probably.
The Man of Steel moment for me was when Cap saved that guy going over the edge. And it was going out of his way in the middle of the battle to save the individuals here and there. And you didn't have to make a big show of saving everybody in the skyscraper, but showing that that's where Cap's priorities were is what set it apart for me there.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I would give you that. Would we agree that the less interesting action scene was the last battle?
Would we? Yes. There were some cool, really cool parts to it. They were all working together to protect the thingy. That was cool. In the clock tower in the middle or whatever, wherever they were, the church.
Church.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That was cool. They were all in there protecting it, you know, back to back, whatever you want to call it, in a circle. Stuff like that was cool, but the story realistically seemed convoluted to me and just kind of crazy.
So just so I understand it.
Okay, I don't.
Let's go to Ultron for a second. So I understand Ultron motivation. He wants peace in his time, so he wants to kill all human because he's an AI. There's not any other more motivation than that. But he wants to evolve. And,
well, he sees that we all do the war, and that's all we do. But yes, it's, yeah.
So he wants to evolve, so he wants to get into a body that seems, quote-unquote, lesser than the one he has right now, because it's half organic, half robot. And then he wants to kill us like dinosaur by creating, quote-unquote, a meteorite that's going to fall on Earth and create a catastrophe. But besides, I mean, there's no really any motivation. It's not out of hate for Tony Stark, which I thought would be great because Tony Stark does not give a damn about the creation that he does. That would have been a great motivation. It's not because we're killing each other every time. It's because he rewatched the greatest hit of the first 15 minutes of the movie and decided that that's what he should do.
I completely disagree with literally everything that came out of your face hole.
Okay, then argue with for a second.
I happen to agree with a good portion of what he just said.
First of all, his whole thing, that one moment where he was when Andy Serkis, and I forget the character's name.
Claw.
But
Ulysses Claw.
Claw, who basically said he was a creation of Tony Stark's. That rage that came out of Ultron at that point. He wants nothing to do with Stark. He despises Stark. And that hate is one of his motivating factors. He wants to undo everything that Tony Stark has done. He despises the man.
But secondly, outside of that scene, doesn't show.
Outside of that scene, actually it does show a couple of times. Every time Tony Stark is brought up, he is not happy. And he is brought up a couple of times.
And that's fine, but it still seems...
Number two.
There seems to be too much shit piled onto his plan. It seems goofy and convoluted.
Number two.
Number two is shit, huh?
Number two. I will grant you this. It is an old AI trope. But once an AI is told, you need to make sure that there is peace everywhere. But the thing that you are trying to make peaceful is a warlike thing. You have to eliminate the warlike thing because you can't eliminate the behavior of the people. You just have to eliminate the people.
Or you just subjugate them. Yeah, no, I don't even have a problem with that part. So go to three.
So that's the second part.
Or you just convince him to play tic-tac-toe and, you know.
Exactly.
That. Yeah.
Exactly. And on top of that, with those two things in play, those are two very strong motivations, which goes against what you just said, Wing.
I didn't feel it. I felt like he was bad because he was an AI and he should be bad.
I didn't pick that up at all.
I felt more than that. I was agreeing with Wing about he does this to do that, and then he tries to create an extinction-level event as opposed to just make more of you and kill people. I mean,
see, that's the thing. I think the extinction level event was just the easier, more economical way to go.
And because it's easier for them to stop because it's Disney and they don't want to kill people. I don't deny that. Some of it felt it was a fun movie, but some of it felt like it was just strung together by some of the action and it was sloppy writing and just for big oohs and ahs for that shit. Other than that, the interplay between the characters, fucking loved it. The actual dialogue between the majority of the characters, loved it. Don't understand Thor's motivation still for coming back and knowing Vision was a better being and doing all that from the horror nightmare dream he got and then whatever water pit he fucking crawled into naked and then got zapped by lightning. No clue what went on there or why the white scientist from our realm has any idea where this pit is or why he has to go with Thor just to see his dong get electrified. I have no clue.
The only reason why I think that Selvig was with him is that they could not get Natalie Portman to be there.
Yeah.
The only reason
they pulled him back was, you know, he saw the Infinity Gauntlet. He realized that, you know, the staff going into the Vision was all part of this. And it was to move not this story forward, but it was to move the MCU forward.
The next
forward.
Story. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I got that. So was the last, you know, 4 or 5 minutes at the end or whatever, 2-3 minutes where they're outside the new Avengers compound.
Yeah. Okay.
I sound like I'm shitting on it. I'm not. I really liked it, but I expected more because I just rewatched the first one.
I expected more because I rewatched Winter Soldier 3 hours before seeing this movie, which was a really big mistake. And it's too bad saying that because it's a little bit when I once see Dark Knight Rises and I paid myself the fun of watching the 3 movie back to back and you watch The Dark Knight and you're like, oh dear God, this is great. And then you watch Dark Knight Rises and you're like, what?
But you know, I don't think you can actually compare them because what you're doing is a tight character driven, you know, with one or two protagonists that allows you to focus more on the story, where Avengers has and always will be an ensemble which you're not driving it forward. You're looking at the interplay between those characters in the situations that they're in. The story almost becomes secondary at that point.
I agree with what you're saying. As a movie watcher, I prefer the... I never thought I would say that, but I prefer the character piece. Now, I think I'm going to look forward more of for the individual character movies than the ensemble one, which worries me for Civil War now.
It doesn't worry me actually at all for Civil War.
Because Civil War sounds like they got a lot going into it.
They got everybody.
They do have a lot of people going into it, but the question becomes how much time on screen are they going to be given? Because they had a lot of people in the Captain America movie, but they did not have a lot of screen time.
Yeah, but look at who they have signed right now. They got everybody and their grandmother in this movie, except Quicksilver, because, spoiler alert, they needed to kill somebody, so they killed the character that they less developed.
Spoiler alert, because Whedon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree. But the way the movie was unfolding, I was like, Hawkeye is dead. We saw family. He's main character this time and everything. And then Quicksilver gets it, and I'm like,
There were even rumors about a year or so ago that they were going to kill off Hawkeye.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure Quicksilver is dead, because there's an interview about this guy saying, like, oh, when you sign a seven movie contract, it's stressful, and you're like, oh, you're not dead. You're Marvel dead, which nobody dies in Marvel. Nobody dies
in comics.
Yeah. Hashtag Pietro lives.
Yes.
There you go.
Yeah, and I was like, did you kill him just so that the X-Men people could use him again? Because, I'm sorry, the debate went on the internet, and the comparison needs to be done. Which is the better Quicksilver?
X-Men.
X-Men easy.
Yeah.
I like this kid just because of the...
The accent?
Yeah, accent's cool, but it was more the relationship with his sister.
Yeah.
Because he actually had one, as opposed to his sister just being so young. But in X-Men, a way better character, way better effects... Way better look of everything. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to watch that movie this weekend.
I know. I'm going to wait until the Rogue One comes out.
It's on Netflix, by the way. You can just push the button.
What?
Yeah, the copy of the longer version.
Shouldn't that have been out like 6 months ago?
No, it's indeed. No. It's going back in theater in June.
Yeah, going back in theaters.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
And then the DVD is going to be released not too long after
that. The Rogue One is going to be in theaters.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of my friends who actually was in most of the scenes that were cut is happy like a pig in shit right now. He's like, I'm going to be in theater. I'm not cut anymore of the movie. Like, yeah, okay, relax. It's great.
So when in June?
14, I think.
Something like that. Mid-June.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, they're going to get my money again.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
back to Pietro, though.
Yes, sir.
Did his death have any impact to any of you guys? Because Coulson, okay, you kill Coulson. I think it got all of us in the gut. Pietro, I'm like, meh.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, with Pietro, it was more of a sacrifice in the moment.
Yeah.
It was more of a sacrifice in the moment. But Coulson, you really can't compare the two, because Coulson was in there from the first Iron Man movie.
Yeah, I agree with that.
He was an established character.
He held everybody a little more just because of you saw him for whether it was 1, 2, or 10 minutes in basically every movie since Iron Man, right?
I mean, yeah, exactly.
But you know what? We say that now, and I saw the movie with two different audience, and every time I heard gasp in the audience, like, and I was like, well, seriously?
It's not shocking. I mean, it's totally shocking because it's
a new character.
Movie. It's a death.
Yeah, it's an Avengers movie.
Right. But as far as like impact is concerned, Coulson had a much more impact.
Yeah.
Especially the way he went out. I mean, Loki went at him like a punk.
He did.
Loki took him out like a
freaking god, and he was all trickster on him.
He went out like a punk.
That's like a drive-by and shit.
Exactly. But Quicksilver, he sacrificed himself. So that was impactful, but no, not on the level of Coulson.
Yeah, it's...
Who's got some more good ideas or notes?
Well, I have other questions, though.
Okay.
We didn't talk about the Vision that much.
Yeah, that was where I was going.
Vision.
Yeah, I'm confused about him.
Oui, the Vision.
Okay. First of all, like I said, I have kind of a problem with we have a problem with this, so let's create another one. Okay. So, mm-hmm.
There are 5 stones, right?
6.
Okay, now you're talking about the
just
we'll go back to the stones. We'll go back to the stone. Let's just go with the Vision.
But wait, Op said they created it because of the Visions, because of the Infinity Gauntlet that he saw. So did Thor know to help do this because this would hopefully, in his vision, help combat whoever had the Infinity Gauntlet?
No, according to Joss Whedon, is that there's a cut scene somewhere that Marvel didn't want in the movie, which justified the fact that he decided that the stone should go there. But it was not in the movie. But that scene where he Frankensteined the lightning on him, I was like, we did the Frankenstein thing with Darth Vader. Did we need it to do that with the Vision as well? Okay.
You didn't do that with Darth Vader.
No, he did the no and the
oh,
walk.
That.
Oh, the Emperor was, lightning. Yeah,
yeah. Can we get out of the Frankenstein thing? I understand it's an important movie and an important piece of literature and all that, but can we move to the next thing? You know, you do the first that thing, and then you go to the next thing.
He's a lightning god. It's kind of his thing, though.
Yeah, and the other thing is, it's his the power that to create him was dropping off rapidly. So he wasn't going to be created at all. He was like at 89%. Then, you know, Thor came along and said, okay, I'm going to use some lightning because all y'all are fighting around him and you're like cutting his power and everything. So I'm going to give him some power and zoop, there he was.
Yeah. And
now, granted, yes, it was Frankenstein, but there's a reason for that.
I still don't understand Vision at all.
That's the thing. Okay. I understand Vision because I have an understanding of the comic.
Yeah.
But as I take all my comic background out of this, Vision is there because they wanted Vision in there.
Yeah.
Okay. We agree on that. Beautiful. He's fun. He's purple and he likes cape. No cape. But okay, he likes capes. But besides that, I mean, his best line is like, well, I am a day old, but
he is really the only entity that can actually face off against Ultron one-on-one.
Yeah.
And has the possibility of beating him. No one else on the team is able to do that.
And he's there to take him out of the internet so they don't have a backup version of Ultron.
Yeah, right. But I do like the conscience, sort of, if you will, of Jarvis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do like that aspect.
Yeah.
Didn't I call that? Didn't I say some aspect of Jarvis would be used? Not really that, but
everybody
I said Ultron would be that.
Everybody called that.
Yeah. No, I said it would be Ultron.
Really?
I don't think you said that, dude.
At one of the very first ones, I'm like, what if Jarvis is Ultron?
I'm just saying, Neil is a fan of the cast, and he's calling you out.
Yeah.
I might have, way back when. Check the tape.
I don't think you said it like that.
Well, okay.
No, not like that. Not like the Superman one is Red Sun, but whatever.
So, for me, Vision, as cool of a character as he is, because they made him pretty cool. I love the way he floats and the way he shoots beams and all that. As cool as he is the Deus Ex Machina of this movie. He's like, we need an entity that's strong enough to kill Ultron, that's strong enough to take him out of the internet, and that's going to have a cool speech at the end to tell us that this is the end.
I would say, yeah, that's. I think that could be a way to look at it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I want to see what they do with the director's cut on this one because
exactly that's the only thing.
I think a bunch of Vision was cut. When people are turning to you going, so who is the red guy?
Mm-hmm.
Then you're like, all right, yeah, something was left out that I think the watcher or the viewer needs to see to make sense of this.
And every once in a while, good movies need to have the, random extra god in there. So it's okay, Wayne. Don't be mad.
I'm not mad. Okay. I'm going to show my hand right now. I had a better time with this movie than with the first Avengers. But what we do on this cast is talk about what works and what didn't work. And for me, on the first watch, I was like, they got it way better than the first Avenger. On the second watch, I was like, wait, the story makes little sense. A little. At least they didn't like kill Ultron, and all the Ultron bot didn't stop working at the end. I was really afraid of that. I'll be honest. I was really, really afraid of that. And I love the Korea action scene. That worked pretty well for me.
Yeah.
Love these, the way that they upload Ultron or half of Ultron into Vision and all that. I was cool with all that. And, you know, as I said, all the action scene, if we're just talking action, worked for me. The Hulkbuster action scene, one of my favorite Marvel action scene ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking scene. When I'm taking it as a whole, all of a sudden, on the third watch, I'm like, okay. Yeah, this is... No.
The turd watch. Always with the turd watching you.
Yeah, always watching the turds.
Well, you need to look back to see if it's long or not. You know, you need to know.
You're a fucking weirdo.
Is it a floater or not?
Yeah, you never know.
That's how you tell if you got fiber.
It's true.
Yeah, true thing. So... But did I have fun with the movie? Yeah, okay, I'll be honest. I had fun with the movie, but all these things come back at the end, and I'm like, eh, okay. As we said in the pre-show, one of my favorite thing, and everybody knows that I'm a fan of Sidekick, so when I see them going to the next generation of Avenger, and I get Falcon, War Machine, and when War Machine showed up, I was like, hell yeah! War Machine is back, and he's not Aaron Petrie at this time. And all that B-Team Avenger, I was really happy with it because I think I'm more excited about seeing the B-Team West Coast Avenger than seeing the actual Avengers.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's on my side.
Yeah. I'm on both sides, Wing, because, as you know, I think we've watched the A-Team Avengers now for so many years. They're like the comfortable pair of shoes. You know what you're getting into. You understand the perspective of the characters. You know why Tony's a dick. You know why Cap is a Boy Scout. And you need that sometimes. It's like comfort food at dinner. At the same time, I'm excited to see where they go with the new Avengers, you know, the up-and-coming team. So they both have pluses and minuses.
Yeah. Anybody understood why Hulk decided at the end first of all, he could fly a Quinjet? And
you know, I'm wondering if they weren't starting to move in the direction of Intelligent Hulk or Banner Brain Hulk.
Well, the version of the Hulk you seem to have is the version where they're half and half and not two different person.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing for me because you can see facet of each character, because there are two characters in one, but you can start to see facet of both of them in that character. And we were talking about the lullaby earlier. I like the fact that she's able to just like throw him off the cliff and be like, yeah, I need the other guy right now, even if you're the guy I prefer, which makes a lot of sense for me, because let's face it, she knows Warrior and everything, and all of a sudden she's falling for the little wimpy sciencey nerdy guy. I can relate to that. Go figure. So I like that version of the Hulk, and I'm gonna agree with Beef. Ruffalo has a way to play the Hulk where I like it.
Yeah, absolutely.
He understands the character more than anybody that seems to have played it before, and the CGI is far enough at this point where the man-canceling suit works enough for me to see Ruffalo through the Hulk.
Absolutely. That was the other thing that really impressed me. It, even more than the first Avengers movie, it looks like Ruffalo as the Hulk. The facial expressions, everything, it looks like Ruffalo.
Incredibly
as
good,
the Hulk. The other thing that I noticed is, and there's a little bit of a sidebar as well, is the fact that when Ultron was on the screen, and there were moments where he would talk about things that just were not germane to the situation at all, and he just said it in this threatening way, and all of a sudden I just flash back to Blacklist, because
that's what Red does.
Yeah, Reddington. Yeah, exactly. Whenever he's about to kill somebody, he kind of leans a little bit to the right, and then he kind of tilts his head, and he just goes off on this weird tangent about, like, you know, did you ever see that scene in Marathon Man where the guy was going to get his teeth ripped out?
Again.
Oh, my God. It's just this whole thing. And when I saw Ultron lean to the right and kind of tilt his head a little bit, I'm like, oh, shit, it's him. It's him.
Yeah, because when I saw Ultron at first, I thought that there would be more version of Ultron, because we get to the quote-unquote main version pretty fast, and then we have the Uber version for the end, which I love that scene when he destroyed the previous version and you see the new version behind him, which looks pretty much the same. But I was like, it doesn't have the mouth, and that's one of the thing in the comic, is that you have that giant mouth that just like goes crazy. He has an actual, like, quote-unquote human mouth.
Yeah.
But it works for him. And the character as a CGI character kind of work visually for me pretty well. I'm not sure. Everybody seems to be raving about the voice of James Spader. I'm at the point.
Yeah, I can see that. I like the voice. I think
that's because I like Blacklist, though.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Anybody could have played that voice.
I wouldn't say anybody.
Well,
you have to have
any good actor.
Any good actor with a voice that could be conniving and manipulative and cruel and stuff like that. Yeah, absolutely. All at the same time. But that just the leaning to the right and the head tilt. I'm like that. That was a geek moment for me. That was just so fucking cool.
The Black Panther thing. Okay.
Yeah, Wakanda.
We go to Wakanda. Last time we've heard that all the vibranium in the world was to make a frisbee. And now they have a plant where they just take vibranium from the city with...
I was confused about that as well, too. I thought they... He maybe had enough to make, you know, upgrade an arm or something, or upgrade his body, or make the Vision body that he's going to transform into. But then it's the whole bottom half of a fucking city.
Thank you. Yeah, I had a problem.
That was a lot of vibranium. That is true.
Okay, that doesn't seem a little awkward to you guys?
Yes, it did. Did a lot. I had a big problem with that. And the fact that they're like, okay, we need to destroy the city for this to work. Okay, I get it. Now we need to save everybody.
Man, Wing's gonna whine again.
They should have tried to save everyone. I understand that, but they should have failed a little bit too.
Yeah, they should have failed a little bit.
A couple people should have died that weren't kids. You know, I get it, but you know, it's a war movie. Occasionally in war, there's a casualty or two.
And not just one superhero. You know, just saying.
Okay, who else would you have killed?
Bystanders. Half the city.
No. You just said, and not just one superhero.
Well, I don't know who else I would have killed. To be honest, like I said, when I watched the movie, I thought that Hawkeye would get it. Before the movie came in, I thought that maybe War Machine would get it.
Or Falcon, who shows up for like 30 seconds.
Well, I don't want Falcon to get it because I really, really like Falcon.
No, I'm just
So the question is, Wing, who didn't you like? And therefore, that basically tells us who you want to die.
Yeah, that's a good question.
You know what? Let's rescind that offer, because now that you say it like that, I don't want to give the Frenchman any power to wish death upon anyone.
Damn right, Jesus.
Not so Frenchy.
Too much power as it is.
Men's got a point there. But my point is that... This victory should have had a cost. And the fact that we go to
it
that...
It did. The one brother.
Yeah, the one brother. Yeah, okay, sure. But after rewatching Avengers last week, the Battle of New York has way more weight than the Battle of Wakanda, little city in the middle of nowhere. Just saying.
Hmm.
Does, Does that any make sense to anybody?
You know, I fucking hate agreeing with him on not his whole point, but some parts of his point, because it makes it so much harder for me to flesh out my thoughts then.
Well, okay, I'll be honest.
The Battle of New York part makes a lot of sense because, yes, it has a touch more weight than the Battle of Spetskovia or whatever.
And I'll be honest, I need to thank the people from the Scotiabank Theater in Montreal because I had the occasion to. I have notes, which I'm pretty sure you guys don't.
True.
So I'm gonna
keep it up. What do we got?
Yeah, I'm gonna thank them on that. Well, I'm at pretty much at the end of my notes right now. The last notes. First of all, seriously, you're not even giving us a stupid end credit scenes. Seriously, I know you announced it before, but
that I really disagreed with. The mid credit scene was one thing, but you need to give us the end credit scene.
Any stupid shit at the end of Iron Man 3, it was stupid, but at least it was. There.
Wait a minute, they didn't give it to you at the end?
The Howard the Duck was stupid, but it was there. Now I have agree. The Avengers will return. No, are you? I stayed there with a full audience for the first watching. Seriously, people have been learning. They've Pavloved that thing at this point. People stays for 10 minutes of credit through all over the freaking world. And you give me The Avengers Will Return?
Now, you do realize that Whedon came out a few weeks ago and said, hey, everybody, there's no end credits. And
I was just about to say, you do know that's been online for a while now,
after
right?
10 movies, I think you should at least put something. Spider-Man going through the screen. Anything. Anything.
You
the
do know
dog,
that
dragon
it's,
thing in Thor 2, yeah.
Yeah, but you do know that it's been online and people who stayed towards the very, very end are just not paying attention.
I get it for you, me, and the people who listen to this cast, okay?
Okay.
I don't give it to half of my audience who are not listening to this cast, who are not online every day to look at movie news and all that shit. Seriously. I think that
I agree overall with the marketing side of things. Yeah, there should have been something there.
And any stupid shit. I mean, okay, we still call it the shawarma because it was really fun, and I get it. It's tough to beat. But you should have give us something. And at this point, like I said, Spider-Man going through the screen costs you nothing. You don't even have to cast an actor. A Spider-Man suit, a reflection through a window. Something. I can come up with 12 different things to put at the end of this movie. Easily.
Disney apparently must hire an angry Frenchman. Let's rate this pig before Wing shits on it
anymore. Wait! We haven't talked about the purple guy yet.
Yes, we did. We talked about him for like about 10 minutes, dude.
Oh, okay. Okay. So let's rate this movie then. So for Avengers Age of Ultron, are you going Legendary Legends of Its
Wait
Time?
Wait a minute. Am I the only one that realizes Wing just had a fucking brain lapse and a seizure, apparently?
What are you talking about, dude?
When he forgot we talked about the purple guy?
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just anyways. Go on, Wing. Go on.
I like the actor they cast as a purple guy. So, and now he's just saying, like, I'm going to do it myself, which makes no sense. But yeah, okay, whatever. You're right. We can move on. It's not worth mentioning.
I do it myself all the time.
I'm doing it myself
right now.
Yeah. No, not... Oh, dear God. And this is why we're rated R on the internet. So, for Avengers Age of Ultron, are you going Legendary Legends of Its Time, Cut Legend, Awesome, Entertaining, Mayable, Forgettable, Abysmal, or Spring Breakers?
He meant Ultron, not Untron, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Let's start with Beef, since he wants to correct me.
Yes, ooh, I'm being punished now, people.
Rare.
Right. For this, I will have to go a solid awesome. I got to see it again. My expectations, I think, were a bit too high. When I watch it again, this will probably go up to Legendary or Legend of Its Time or whatever. But it was right now, it was just awesome. A lot of it felt kind of rushed, even though it wasn't. I don't know, the action scenes seem like the same thing. There's shit flying around and they're killing it. The opening action scene was great. The interplay between the characters and the dialogue was phenomenal. Ultron was great. It left me wanting more, and not in the good way. So I don't know. I'll watch it again, and I'm sure I'll like it better once I'm at home and just checking it out. But I can only go awesome right now. It's not the legendary that the first one was.
Neil?
Oh, geez. I want to go Legend of Its Time. Well, actually, that's not true. I want to go Legendary, but I'm not sure, just because we've seen other ensemble Avengers movies that will probably be the benchmark for these kind of films, whether or not Avengers 2 will have as much of an impact in the total, you know, genre of superhero films. I still think it's a cut above awesome for me, and I have to go Legend of Its Time.
Operator?
I would, if I could say awesome was just under legendary, then I would have to say awesome, because it doesn't fit exactly Legend of Its Time, because that's more of like, you know, oh, this was a great 80s movie, and it's bigger than cult legend because it's better than like the average comic book movie. So I would say very, 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 very strong awesome. It didn't hit me in the same way that the first Avengers movie did, mainly because, you know, it was the first time that all the characters came together and blah, 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 blah. But overall, I liked the story. I thought some of the interplay with the characters in there
Banner
was
and Natasha,
just
sorry.
Beautiful. Yeah, Banner and Natasha was epic. Epic. Even loved, you know, the Hawkeye turn and the interplay between Tony and Cap, and knowing that how bad shit is going to get in Civil War. I really liked it. It just didn't hit me quite as hard as Avengers did, which is why I'm not giving it a legendary rating.
For me, this is a difficult call, because everybody knows my view of the first Avengers, and I'm going to give it something that I did not give it last week when we did our second watch of Avengers. I think the fact that they put all these characters on the screen for the first time was something impressive. Do I like this movie more than the first one? Yes. Yes, I did. I think they did a lot of things better. I like the interaction with the character way more. I think the villain is more interesting, even if Loki, as an overall Marvel Universe, is a better character. I think the villain was still more interesting in this one. I know I've shit on it all of this cast, but that's what we're doing on this cast. We're trying to find what works and what didn't work. I would like to give it what we used to have entertaining plus, which we don't anymore. So I'm going to give it not a solid awesome, a weak awesome. But is it an awesome movie? It is an awesome movie, because all the action scene, and I think I gave that to the movie across this cast, the action scenes worked better for me. I had problem with the third act, which I have problem with most third act of Marvel movies. But overall, the Whedon style worked better for me in this movie. The action scene worked better for me in this movie. And I think I like the character a little bit more because of these interactions. The big problem I have with the movie is that they add 4 introduction of character and made the movie kind of muddy. But if you want to put that aside, if you're not a hardcore Marvel movie watcher and you're not trying to connect everything, this is a good sequel to Avengers. This is a better movie than the first one. So I'm going to give it a weak awesome for this one.
Whole week's worth of awesome? That's cool of you.
Yeah, I enjoyed it better, much more than the first one, to watch it 3 times in the first week, where I watched the first Avenger once in theater and twice in DVD. That was it. And now I've already watched this movie 3 times, and I'm going to watch it probably again when it comes out on VOD or Netflix or something like that.
Yeah, the extended version. I'll check
the 3-hour version, yeah.
But that's the thing. I am really curious, because this movie is almost 2.5 hours, and there's so much stuff going on. The 2.5 hours went pretty fast. I am ready to watch 3 and some minute hours of this movie if you add character development, because everything that Hawkeye did, and I love that Hawkeye had more space in this movie, I really like. And what we've heard is that it's a character development that was cut. So I can't wait to watch the cutscenes or a director's cut of this movie, because I don't think Marvel ever released a director's cut at this point. But I can't wait to watch what was cut out of this movie and see what could have been. Does this movie pump me up for Phase 3? Yes. I think the Useless Claw characters in this movie is interesting, and I want to see more about that. I'm curious to see what Civil War is going to bring.
We should start playing music like they do on the Oscars or some shit.
So yeah, I'm giving it the week awesome. But thanks for the third time
that you said that. Now back to you, Beef. Thanks, other Beef. We're going to go
Beef?
Ahead.
Fuck you.
Say last word, fellas.
Natasha.
God damn it. Neil.
Lullaby.
Vibranium.
I hate all three of you. That's my last words. This has been episode 243 Legends Podcast, Avengers Age of Ultron. I'm Beef saying, Wing, we're going to have music for you next week.
I'm John D saying, Civil War's better be pretty good.
The operator is saying, don't compare me with Stark. He's a sickness. Oh, Junior, you're going to break the old man's heart.
And I'm Neil saying, now do we get West Coast Avengers?
Oh.
Oh. Hey, they're doing a spinoff of Walking Dead. Why not?
No.
I want Squirrel Girl in the West Coast Avengers.
Oh, God. You're going to make it happen now.
Nathan Fillion is Wonder Man.
No.
Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all of our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendspodcast.com where you will find our complete archive. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incompetech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual host and do not represent Legends Stream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.